Blog Talk Radio.
Curtis Mayfield had his finger on the pulse of society. Even when we as a people did not know where we were going, Curtis musically led the way. One of my favorite parts in one of his songs said,
"People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me."
With everyone after a long week. I hope everyone's week was joyful and safe, and that, you know, everyone is still here with us today. Let's give God some praise for just life itself. And I am especially excited this Sunday because I have my uncle here with me. So you're going to meet him in a few minutes. But before we start, brother, our friend, my illustrious co-host, Brother Gene Gordon, is here with me as well. We're going to be talking about paganism pimping. And I know that the title of it all may have said, what are you talking about? You know, how can you mix paganism and pimping into together? Well, that's just the reality of it all. And my Uncle Terry and Brother Gene, they're going to elaborate further on what I'm talking about. But listen, this is this particular subject. I want people to be aware of what we're doing with our dollars and this culture that we have adopted is not for our benefit. It never has been for our benefit. Am I telling you not to go and buy gifts for your children and your loved ones? Exactly not. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying to you is that over the years, if you look at it, how many years you've bought Christmas presents and celebrated holidays, you go out and you spend all this money, and all of these people are making money off of the black and the brown people. But we are not benefiting from the dollars that we spend. We have spent our entire lives, generation after generation after generation, financing the future for every other ethnicity except for the black, the brown, and the red. So who else does that lead? This is not a color thing. The only color involved in this is green. We have to be in charge of our futures. Do you want your children and your grandchildren to continue down this endless cycle of investing in everything, everyone except for themselves? And there's going to be a time that we're not going to be able to keep up. You're spending money. On the other day, they said that the online Black Friday was the biggest ever. $1 trillion of our dollars to someone else's future that does not look like us. Even if you say, I bought black. Okay, you bought black. But the black people didn't produce it and didn't factor it, so therefore you really didn't buy black. So that's where I'm going to stop, and I'm going to bring on Brother Gene, and he's going to elaborate more, and then I'm going to introduce my Uncle Terry, who I'm so happy is here with me today. So Brother Gene, come on and say good evening and tell us what you got.
Good evening, listeners. Can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Good evening, and peace to the brother who's on the other call. I just want to, you know, share with the listening audience, you know, I first want to say that, you know, Doc VESJ and what Queen and I are doing is we try to educate, you know, as that record she was playing, you know, before the show, it said education for a better nation. And we have to be re-educated. I think the educational system that has been bestowed upon us is an educational system that keeps us in the wage slave system and keeps us as economic slaves. I just want to share, when Queen was talking about, you know, paganism, pimping, you know, paganism is where we're not going to get into the religion, you know, part of it, but paganism, if you go and look at it, it's where it all began. It's a pagan holiday, but when it comes to pimping, what they have done is found a way to really merchandise on the ignorance of the public. But I just want to throw some numbers out there that, you know, Black people in particular has a spending power of $1.6 trillion a year. Spend $1.6 trillion in spending on consumer items. Now, that's up 171% over the last 10 years. It's up 171%. With the Latino people, their spending power has went up 288%. And with Asians, their spending power have went up 383%, has increased. But here's the most important thing, is that although their spending power has increased more than ours, as black people, their net worth has increased. So their net worth has increased and their spending power has increased, but our net worth has decreased by 14%. So we're behind, you know. Our net worth has decreased by 14%, but our spending habits are up 171%. Those numbers don't connect at all. But, you know, that's the thing. But these other ethnic groups, their net worth has increased, but ours has decreased by 14%. Now, with the month of December, we have to be educated on the month of December. It's a very significant month. As we all know, it's the end of the year. And what merchants and manufacturers of goods and services, they try to close out the year and have a good year. So that's what they do. They try to close the year having a good year. And Christmas, and not so much Christmas, but the month of December and the holidays is when they make the most of their profits and the most of their money. Believe it or not, that's when they make the most of their money. But, you know, we have to really rethink on how our money is spent, you know. And we have to start to increase our net worth, you know. So that's what we'll be discussing today in ways to – we have to close the racial wealth gap. Which is $11 trillion. That's an $11 trillion racial wealth gap between blacks and white America. There's $11 trillion. That's bank, brothers and sisters. But how can we combat this dilemma, and how can we begin to close the racial wealth gap? We're certainly not going to accomplish this by spending. And here's the sad part about it is that although we're spending $1.6 trillion, we have a $1.6 trillion consumer spending habit. We're spending that, but we're not even looking at and paying attention to what's going on within the economic system of America. We're not even paying attention how inflation is on the rise. We're not paying attention to that. And the items that you will go out and buy, you know, for a holiday, the upcoming holiday, they have increased in prices. Some things like food items have increased over 100%. Food items has increased 100%. Now, you know, for the shopping, all that, we have to really begin to get a grip on what we're doing. I mean, spend $1.6 trillion, that's a lot of money. You know, that's a tremendous lot of money. So that's what we'll be. I'll be sharing some other things with you throughout the show, you know, on ways that we can begin to really buckle down and bring things over in our favor and start to increase our network. So I'll be talking about that a little bit more, but I want to just open up, you know, with some numbers. And we have to really, really begin to know and understand where do we allocate our dollars, you know. But it's, we certainly have to get out of consumer spending. We're the biggest consumers in the world today, the biggest consumer. And the way we are being educated, and I'll talk about it later, the way that we're being educated is around consumer goods and services, things we eat, things we use. That's consumer goods and services. How do we get into producer of goods and services? That's the only way that we would close this wealth gap, is we have to get in the producer of goods and services. And how do we do that? And I'll be talking about that a little later in the show.
Amen.
All right, Brother Gene, thank you so much for that. And now, this is one of my favorite guys in the world, Uncle Terry. Before you, I allow you to introduce yourself, let me talk about my Uncle Terry for a bit. And since I was a little girl at the Shape Community Center, he would always come around. He would be dressed in his suits, and all the children would jump on him, and he didn't mind. And he was the one that always took the time out to talk to us, to play with us. And he was always active in the community. Now, this is the one thing I know about Uncle Terry that I hope you don't mind me sharing. Uncle Terry is 70-plus years old. But he doesn't look a day over 25. This man has not aged. I have been knowing him over 40 years, okay? I call him Uncle Terry because Godfather's brother, and he has not aged, I'm telling y'all, in over 42 years that I've known him, he still looks exactly the same. And I don't know what his trick is. Maybe he'll share that with us. But you're talking about a freedom fighter. You're talking about someone that has been there for economic and social justice. You're talking about someone who is spiritual, who is loving, comes from a loving family. His mother, Grandma Ruby, beautiful spirit. His father, beautiful spirit. Just a whole family of givers and care for the community. So, Uncle Terry, go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself that I ain't bragged on you about already.
Well, I'm not going to say a whole bunch about me, except that with respect to what you were saying about my age, yeah, I'm 73, and you say I don't look it, but I tell you what, if I had to look the way I've lived these past 73 years, I would look twice my age. So I got to give God all the glory. I got to give God all the glory, you know. But
Amen.
I am an associate pastor of a, I wouldn't say a church. I don't do the church thing. But I'm associate pastor for a movement called the Awakening of our people. And I was listening to my brother as he was sharing, and he shared some very good information. And I was hooked on his phrase about we are more consumer oriented than we are production oriented. That's a fact, and that has to change within our culture, within our community. One of the things that I'd like to say is that we're about to embark upon the Kwanzaa celebrations. And
yes, sir.
The brother was talking about how we have been educated. We need to be re-educated. We need to empty our minds of the education we've received and begin to fill our minds with going back to culture, going
Come
back
on.
to the Nguzu Saba, Kwanzaa, the seven principles. We need to go back to Umoja. Unity. Success
That's
starts
right.
with unity. We need to go back to self-determination, to be responsible for ourselves. Kujikagalia. We need to get back to Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility in order for us to build and maintain our community, but to do it together. And next we need Ujamaa, collective economics.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly than all of it, because none of it would not work without purpose. We've got to have a purpose, and we've got to have faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in ourselves as a people. You know,
yes,
I'm not what you call a religious person, because I know that what religion has done, religion is really sustained by two factors, and that's fear and guilt. That's the opium of our people.
Whoa.
Come on.
We as a people, we the people have integrated so much into this Eurocentric society that we've become just like European ourselves. And and actually, you prefer to hear lies than to hear the truth. And we're
so mentally
enslaved today that what was forced upon us at one time, we're now welcome. We're now welcome that. And I know that one of our topics is you call them hella days.
Yes, sir.
I feel like it's called hella days. Well, I call them evil holidays, which is one and the same. Hella days are evil holidays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Christian holidays are really ancient pagan feasts that were worshipped in by the Roman Catholic Church during the rule of the Emperor Constantine. Now, if anybody knows Constantine was a self-imposed emperor. You know, he wasn't appointed. He was self-imposed. He appointed himself as a leader, as emperor. And Constantine was a pagan sun worshiper who had a Christian experience at his death that wanted to unite his empire, both Christian and pagan, together. So he intermingled Christianity with paganism. And he achieved this by rewriting history and renaming pagan feasts with Christian names. You got what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, and to give you a good example, you know, I know everybody was just planning and dressing up in their cute outfits, but let me drop a few quick things on my Bible beliefs, Bible beliefs. I was always around, it was also around this time, Halloween is a pagan holiday drenched in nothing but witchcraft. They call it Satan's birthday. So if you're planning on observing anything on this day in any way, please consider that. And do a little research yourself. And research the word Shahan. And the pronunciation is Sohim. All Saints Day. All Hallows Eve. Research Druids. Hallow, in other words, holy to the Catholic Church. Evening service. No more excuses for ignorance. So don't be deceived into the false joy that pagan holidays bring. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft, period. And this is the time where they're trying to communicate with the dead. This is the day that they sacrifice animals and people. That is Halloween, and we celebrate it. Christian holidays are ancient pagan feasts, nothing more, nothing less. And we were worshipped by the Catholic Church by Constantine. Now Constantine had gone to the Council of Ecclesia, where they made decisions about religion. Constantine decided he wanted to make the Easter, change Easter, or shall I say the Passover, to Easter. So we celebrate Easter. Easter.
Instead of the Passover. Yes, sir.
Instead of the Passover. And he's the one that changed why people worship on Sunday. He changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what gave him the authority? And, I mean, early believers kept the Sabbath. They kept Saturday as the Sabbath until March 7th in the year, I think it was the year 3021. When Pope Constantine passed a law requiring believers to worship on Sunday, the day that the pagans worshiped the sun god. So
right.
Constantine was a sun worshiper. and believers still kept Saturday as a Sabbath until another law was passed 11 years later. And this law signed into decree by the Pope Constantine, who forbid believers to worship on Sabbath, which was a Sunday, which was a Saturday. And it was punishable, check this out, punishable by death by the Catholic Church. And many believers were burned to death by the Catholic Church for keeping the Sabbath.
Wow.
So what we have to understand, and I'm not getting religious on you here, because I'm not into religion. I'm into truth. I'm not into religion. I'm into a personal relationship with God. Okay? So in Revelations 12 and 9, the Bible tells us, and this is God speaking. He said this, not me, that old dragon, Satan, called the devil, was cast out of heaven, he and his angels, and they deceived the whole world.
So, Uncle Terry, that right there, how would you apply that to today?
Very easily. Nothing has changed. First, understand what I said. He deceived the whole world, excluding no one. Me, you, your mama, your daddy. It included white folk, black folk, brown folk. It includes the whole world. So nobody is excluded from deception. The whole world. So right now, how it relates to today, we're still under deception. And we're under deception until we come to the knowledge of the truth. And part of the truth is, first of all, knowing who God is. Secondly, knowing who we are as his chosen people. You see, for many years, let's go back to this CRT stuff. Oh, yes. This is the good part. This is the part that's so amazing. That if we get slightly into politics, but this CRT, critical race theory, you know, in Texas, they were trying very hard, very, very diligently to change verbiage in the textbooks that our children learn from. Instead of calling slavery, they want to call slavery unpaid internship as opposed to slavery. So that is part of deception. So what you're doing is you're taking history and you're changing history from history to their story. Not history, but their story. So they want to change things in our history books because they don't want white kids to feel any discomfort, and they don't want to deal with the fact that we were an enslaved people. They don't want to deal with the fact that we were brought to this country in slave ships, that taken from us was our name, taken from us was our culture, taken from us was our religion, taken from us was our children, snatched from our arms and sold into slavery, and our wives being raped by our slave masters. See, they don't want these truths revealed to our children.
But Uncle Terry, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question right quick, Uncle Terry.
Yeah.
So as we, because I don't want to steer away from economics, because like today, the way that this, you know, what you're saying and how they incorporated slavery in this country, and then we talk about all the things that was taken from us being brought here, but then there was an invasion in Africa for the wealth of Africa.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Now that they so-called set us so-called free, right, And then they created this thing called the income tax or whatever. That's kind of like where it started, because as soon as you made money, they wanted to tax you for it, and they tax you for everything that you buy. Then they tax you at the end of the year. But here's what the direction I want to go in right here as it comes to our economic slavery. We are wage slaves in this country. We are limited to the wages that corporations and business owners decide to pay us. But then at the same time, they use these holidays, as I call them, to suck the wealth out of us. And I want you to talk about that and that whole economic piece of what they're doing to us as a people.
Well, my brother hit the nail on the head. I have to agree with everything he said. These pagan holidays were set up to do just that. You said it, to suck our wealth from us. But that goes into our mental conditioning and going back to living like them. I use them, as I say European, and accepting and embracing their values. So, but that's why we have to repent. We have to change, have a mind change. We have to change our minds about economics and about finances and stop thinking the way we're thinking. Because we take our hard-earned money and we go to the stores on in the shopping malls and spend our hard-earned money on presents for our children. And we have this European mindset, and then our children are fed this same mindset, and the mindset is recycling in our community. But the cycle has to be broken at some point, and thinking differently about our economic situation. But as it stands right now, we're not being wise with our finances. And we're teaching our children. Yes, go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to recap on something you were saying so I wouldn't lose my thought and then you can continue. But, you know, what you were doing in early, what you were doing is you were laying down the foundation of truth. And
yes,
I just want to touch on that. And I think it's important, I mean, because you have to ask, how will we change our behaviors? How will we begin, on what basis should we even consider in changing our spending habits and changing our behavior when we're looking at the holidays? So I just want to lay a foundation for that, which is the problem.
Yeah.
Education and the lack of knowledge on what it is, where it came from, and how it begins. So I just want to lay the foundation on that. And this is not to condemn anybody on their religious persuasion or any kind of way. But today, we cannot sugarcoat anything. So I'm going to give it to you straight. And then we're going to come up with the solution from an economic standpoint. And I think this pretty much will cover why we're in the economic condition that we're in and how the feds is really going to try to make this month bigger than it's ever been. But he said something that Brother Terry said something that was very important. He talked about the pagan holidays, the pagan traditions and customs. That's not us. He talked about where to begin, and he talked about they were sun worshipers and how they, because if you listeners, if you know, you know, in the month of November, the days and the nights, the days get are shorter in length. So what the old pagans did, they were sun worshippers, and they thought that their God was leaving them because they worshipped of the sun. So you wonder why you put why the holly wreath? Why is it round? You wonder why you put lights up in your windows and candles? It's resemble of the sun, because they were sun worshipers. And I want you to look it up. What we're saying, go look it up. Go look up Brumalia, spelled B-R-U-M-A-L-I-A, Brumalia. Go look up Saturnalia, spelled S-A-T-U-R-N-A-L-I-A. It's all there. And then when he said that they deceived the whole world, what better way to deceive you? If I'm a thief and you know I'm a thief, then I have to, in order to deceive you, I have to come with something that you like.
There you go.
So they use Jesus because they know our love for such a holy man who was undeviled, was a good man. So they use something, they come at you with something you like.
That's right.
They came with you with Jesus and said it was his birthday, but Jesus was not born in December. He said when he was born, the shepherds was tending their flock in the field. Well, today in Palestine, ain't no damn shepherds out tending no flock in the field. It's cold and rainy season there today. So we got to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Now,
amen.
The brother always, he also touched on something. He said he's not a religious.
Before you finish that thought, let me infuse something in there since we're talking about truth. A lot of our people are really into religion. And our churches are filled with black folk every day. And you asked a question, how do we reach our people? You reach your people where they're at. Where are they on Sundays? At churches. Pastors have to be held account.
Come on, that's what I'm talking
they're
about.
They're the ones that are preaching and teaching the gospel. They're the ones who have such influence on their congregants. So speaking of where to start, we start from the pulpit where the people congregate. they don't congregate at the Shape Community Center as much as they do at the church. We can reach people at the Shape Community Center. We talk about cooperative economics. We talk about inclusive style, all the principles of Kwanzaa and how we the people must have unity. We must have collective working responsibility and collective economics. We can do that at the Shape Center. But the churches are filled with our people. And there's a central figure behind the pulpit that's filling our people with words that get them all emotional. And they start the dancing and the clapping and the singing, and they walk out the same way they came in without any knowledge. And my people perish for lack of knowledge. So one of the things that I do as a pastor, I teach truth. I don't fill people with emotions. It's not about emotion. I never made a good emotional decision in my life. my decisions are based on intellect. It's based on research. It's based on truth. You know. So until we get to those that are so-called leaders, to get them to find someone with integrity to fill these pulpits, to infuse our people with some truth, as opposed to these. They don't even teach the people to, or encourage them to read the Bible for themselves. You hear what I'm saying? Listen to my words and my words only. And a lot of people don't read Bibles. They don't read, they don't research, they don't scrutinize things. They just hear words, get emotional, go home and do it, business as usual. So my point is, we've got to find people that have influence, and people who have influence, and people who are preaching and teaching, and people who are in the pulpits, people who have platforms, you know, the LeBron James and the Kyrie Irvings and these brothers. We've got to reach people, we need some people. We need people.
Yeah.
Am I making sense to you?
Yeah, but here's the thing we have to come to realize is that our lead, quote unquote, leaders are education. The way we've been educated, we've been educated on such a conventional way of living, like, you know. But you know, as you were saying,
true, but we have to understand that.
But hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
Now, we have to go in and educate them on a new paradigm. You know, they're thinking, and the youth are not, the young are not in the church. The young are not in the mosque. They're not in the churches, the mosques, the synagogues, or whatever, the cathedrals. The youth are not there. So what we have to do is, yes, we need to connect with the leaders of the community, which involves the pastors and those in the pulpit, involves those. But, you know, Karl Marx said, and I'm not a communist, Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the people. Opiate is a drug that keeps people intoxicated. But to get on the economic part of it, here's what some quote-unquote community leaders said about what we have to do to close those numbers I gave you in the beginning and close the wealth gap between, you know, black people and white America. They said that the way to do that is own a home. They said own a home is the best way of building. Home ownership is the biggest wealth builder in the black community. That's what keeps our people sleep. That information right there. And that information came from Bob Johnson, who used to own BET. Said home ownership is the biggest wealth builder in the black community. No, it's not. He didn't build his wealth by owning a home.
Come on.
And then Angela Yee, who is quote-unquote supposed to be a speaker for the black community and a leader, see, these people have to be educated. She said that the way to build and close the racial wealth gap, she said that the money that our spending power, we need to take that and invest it in stock. And bonds.
Oh, God, Jesus, no.
Now, these are our leaders. These are people that Dr. ESJ got to sit down with and educate, because here's my point. But keeping in mind, these are people who are feeding this madness into our people. That's to keep you a damn wage slave.
Thank you.
Home ownership, 30% home buying is down by 30% today. Home ownership, we can't afford to buy homes because of what Queen was saying earlier about the taxation that goes into the wage system, which what we call trickle-down economics. They strip income away from people who earns it. And then when she talked about through the taxation of your income, it's a voluntary tax. It's a voluntary tax, but yet we contribute it willingly. It's a voluntary tax. Now, they have sucked out the wage earner. They sucked out, you know, with this taxation. And all of it goes to welfare. We call it trickle-down economics. So today, black people can't afford to buy a house. Now, you saying home ownership, you never mention capital ownership. Capital.
Right.
They never mention producer of goods and service. Then they went on to say that, you know, he went on to say, and then the president of the largest black-owned bank in America, United Bank, he went on to say, own a home, own a profitable business. Dr. ESJ got something different. No, own a profitable business. Own shares of a profitable business. Give us opportunity, equalize opportunity to own shares in a profitable business. Because, you know, one thing I admire and respect about Kwanzaa Holiday is that Kwanzaa just not, it didn't come with spending. It came with principle.
Thank you.
He mentioned collective work. Poverty, as I said last week, poverty is not an individual issue. It is a collective issue. And I don't give a damn how much you obtain by yourself individually. You know, to keep it, you steal a nigga wherever you go, because you're judged by the masses of the people. You're judged by a collective. So what we have to do is to come up with collective solutions. We have to come together with collective solutions to solve the problems. He also mentioned something about what they were teaching in the schools with this new curriculum. What is it called? You mentioned it, how they was talking about that we were an internship, you know. Unvoluntary internship. See, now what that is an example
that's
of
slavery.
Systemic, that's a systemic problem. That's a systemic problem within the educational system. So we have got to change the educational system. Those are systemic problems, so we got to come with systemic solutions to solve systemic problems. You also said something about, you know, but that's a collective. You know, we have to come together collectively. But with those numbers, you know, and then the leaders went on to say, you know, as I said, own a profitable business. Did you all know that 98% of, we hear it all the time, support black businesses, open black business. 98% of black businesses are sole proprietor businesses. What do I mean by that?
Sole
proprietors, although they... There's one person working 15 hours a day to put food on their table. And 99.9% of our businesses is based around consumer goods and services.
So
we would never.
It's nothing but somebody going to work every day.
Huh?
For themselves.
It's just like somebody going to work every day. Just like a job.
That's all it is. So we got a job to do. We have to go out and educate that no, own a profitable business is not going to solve the racial wealth gap. Equal shares of a profitable, productive, producing business will give us closer racial wealth gap. And this brother who is the president of this black bank, he also said savings and investment. Savings is based on past savings. No, when the Federal Reserve has the powers to create money based on future savings, future profits. Look how tricky this is. When you go buy a house or finance a house, they're not basing it on past savings, are they?
No, they're not.
Basing it on your future income.
When you go
out and finance a car, they're not basing it on past savings. Of course, you put down a little small down payment, but they're basing it on future savings, future income. But when it comes to capital ownership and getting equal shares of the wealth that's being built in America through capital ownership, Bob Johnson, who made that statement about home ownership, I know where he built his wealth at. He built his wealth around a brand, BET, and other things. He runs one of the biggest trucking companies out of Atlanta. He understands what capital is. The brother who owns the Black Bank, he ain't built his. See, he probably said that so you can come and become a deposit. Ain't nothing wrong with it. We got to support Black banks. But damn it, don't be miseducating our people and keeping them in a wage slave system, in a modern slave system. You know the truth. You have to know the truth. He said savings and investment. 60% of Americans have less than $1,000 in their savings. Mm. So how are you gonna? What are you gonna do with that? Then Angela then Angela Yeh said stocks. Let me tell you something, listening audience.
Please.
Wall Street is nothing more than a gambling casino. Is where they speculate. It's where they speculate on what could happen,
right,
and not what actually is. So, but how many of us can afford to invest in the stock market? And here's another thing: if you allow DASI ESJ to come in and educate you on how a share of stock is broken down, and it is actually a violation of share owner's property. The way that the profits are distributed of a share, man, you're getting ripped off. Totally. You only getting 3-4% of what the share actually produced. And I can prove it to you.
You pay for everything.
I can prove it to you, and it's actual fact. So, with that being said, we can't buy stock on the stock market, but you can democratize the money system where you give each and every individual equal access opportunity to participate in the economic wealth and process of this nation. You gave us equal access through the vote and the ballot. You use our vote, it's proven that the vote is not enough. You know, you gave us equal access to that for political democracy, but you left out giving us access to obtain economic democracy. We have to change the money system, Black man and woman, and we have got to become more educated on a system that has been set up. So what the brother was talking about, the educational system, what we have to do is come together collectively to totally dismantle institution and structural racism. When you talk about housing disparities in education, the banking system, the money system, all institutions of power has to be institutions of change. So how do we bring about, you know, we're coming up with Martin Luther King celebration, but many of us don't know what Martin Luther King was really about.
True.
He was more than I Have a Dream, but we're coming up with his celebration. But the thing
they dismissed his part about economic justice. They dismissed that.
Yeah. They dismissed that
That's the reason why they killed him, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and Gene,
I want to
say something about what you said, because you said that they gave us opportunity politically, right? Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing. You gave us the right to vote. Well, you didn't give us nothing. We fought, bled, and died for the right to vote. But here's the thing, and Uncle Terry, he knows this about me. The one thing, Uncle Terry, we learned at Shea Center was responsibility and accountability, correct?
Yes,
so
that's right.
Here's the thing. If we do not hold our politicians accountable, what good is the damn vote? If your politician deceives you after you have stood in line and cast your vote, because they came into your community and made you a promise, and then when they get up there and don't fulfill and don't attempt to fulfill, because we know that there's opposition, but even when they don't attempt to fulfill the promise, we still don't hold anybody accountable. So now, what does that make us? We are political slaves as well, because we don't seem to matter when it comes to the policies of economics in our community. That's the problem right there, because, see, we're the last ones. We get the trash. We get the pennies that's left over for redevelopment, for education, for infrastructure, for housing, for equal access to anything. We only get the pennies that's allowed to be invested into the community. Why is there a difference between, Uncle Terry, between Third Ward and River Oaks? Why is there a difference between Third Ward and Sugar Land? Why is there a difference between Third Ward and Pearland? Because you make the deciding factors based on income of what gets what, of who gets what. Why are our parks raggedy? Why are our schools raggedy? Why are our streets raggedy? But I go to Sugar Land, Pearland, Missouri City, River Oaks, and it's smooth pavement. It's things like that that we are not involved in. But guess what? If we owned our infrastructure, then we could have something to say, and it would matter.
But here's another thing on why here's another thing why we don't hold our politicians accountable, Queen, is because we don't know what economic and social justice is. How can you know what's due to you when you, I mean, how can you get what's due to you when you don't know what's due to you?
That's
so
true.
We don't
know.
Well,
the people
have to be re-educated. Exactly, because then they have to be re-educated, then they know what to go in and demand. So once they're educated, and if the politicians or those who run for office is not talking about empowering every citizen of their district in a way to do it, then you don't get my vote. Let us educate you on what we want, and here is our demand. See, that's the reason why we go. See, our vote is being taken for granted because the politicians know. The politicians know. They know that they don't really know what they want. They're not demanding of anything. So just vote me, and then they get up and talk about the same thing. Health care for all, you know, equal housing and all
buzzwords,
that. We have got a job to go out and educate, because you would never have a political democracy until you have economic democracy into the hands of the people. So that's the job that we have to do. And also what this president of this black-owned bank, see, this is what keeps us stagnated, because we got people like, see, he got to be educated. He said, and a way to closing the wealth gap is having a will, life insurance, an improved credit score. Now, life insurance, everybody should have life insurance, but when you said life insurance, you mean that, you know, It's sort of like an inheritance, you know, to the family. You want to leave your family, you know. But when people, and I know insurance agents who are in the insurance business, they say that that's a way of closing the racial wealth gap. I got my little, you know, say on that, you know. I mean, you wait till I'm dead and gone, then you can, and it's an inheritance, but I'll be dead and gone. But then he said improve credit scores. Now, what's the purpose? See, and people, credit building is good. We have to learn that. But don't just give me on how to raise my credit score, because you lead me to believe you want me to raise my credit score for consumer purchases. Because you left out on educating me on raising my credit score and keeping a credit score 720 to 840 to use as a leverage, not for consumer goods. See, they leave that out. And see, that's what keeps our people stagnated. But you have to get capital ownership. What is capital? Robotics, artificial intelligence, advanced technology that's replacing human labor. How do we get into that area? That's what most of the wealthy build their, in 70% of the wealthiest income, 70% of their income comes from productive capital. But why in the black community you're not hearing about productive capital? You're not hearing about the producer of goods and service. All they're teaching us and these politicians, jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, reminds me of Al. Go ahead.
Deceived people deceive people.
Yeah. Here's the reason why they say jobs. They want to produce jobs, but they never mention on equal ownership, broad-based ownership. So that's why you got concentrated wealth. You know, it's so concentrated. You know, they don't mention the fact that, you know, jobs. The reason they say that, because here's why, whether you want to believe it or not, government know with a $30 trillion national debt and a $100 trillion total debt, they know that they have got to find some way to start creating some more tax revenue.
Yes.
That's your paycheck. They know that if they deal more entrepreneurs and capital owners, that they're not going to get the taxation power that they need, and it'll never catch up. So they want to keep you a wage slave. So they keep you consumers and wage slaves all the time. We have got to get educated on capital ownership. The only way that we can close the racial wealth gap is through broad-based ownership of capital. Capital. That's the only way, and it's a way we can do it. Dr. ESJ has a way that we can begin to participate in the economic wealth that's being built here in America without taking anything from those who have already owned it, and not in the form of redistribution, but distribute the wealth. There's a way we can do it. We got the plan. The Economic Democracy Act, the Citizen Land Development Co-op is a way that we can own our communities, own the infrastructure, the roads, the bridges, the land. It's a way we can do it. But nobody's out there teaching us. So that's
but
what
I
the brother
ask,
was saying. Is that,
I want to suggest. I want to suggest that we work on doing a seminar.
Yeah, we're
talking
about.
Well, Uncle Terry, I had a question, Uncle Terry. I have sent you the link to our website.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to I know this is not radio talk, but what I wanted to talk to you about was, you know how we used to do it back in the day, right? It was like Sheila Jackson Lee, Judah and Boney, all of the black city councilmen. I know you have connections to them. I want to hold I wouldn't call it a seminar. I want to, you know, since I'm coming back to Houston. Well, since I'm coming back to Houston and they all know me, I want to call it a welcome home meeting. But I want to meet with them, and Uncle Ted, you work for the Housing Authority, right?
That's where I retired from.
Yeah, that's where you retired from, and we need to talk about PSJ, which is Descendants of American Slaves for Economic and Social Justice. When you get time, I sent you the link in the text to just read the website. Just go on the website. It'll tell you everything that you want to know. Because what we haven't mentioned, Brother Gene, is that since Uncle Terry's new to our broadcast, is that we're talking about a new economic paradigm. And when he was talking about Apple, how most of the time when we want to open up business or if we want to do anything financially, you know, it's based on our past savings. You know, we got to come with this down. We got to have this much in the bank and this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
But overall, we're talking about being paid by things being paid for with future earnings and not just owning our homes, owning the infrastructure so that we have ownership in part of the very foundation of our communities. We're also talking about like
which also creates jobs.
Derelict buildings, huh?
Mm-hmm. I said which also creates jobs.
Right.
Yeah, and not
and,
only
but
that,
then we talk
yeah,
about when corporations come in and they come in and they get all these empty lots and they put their businesses and all that stuff on the empty lots or build whatever they want to build that we have no say so in. We can get benefit from the land leases and things of that nature. But see, no one talks about that because no one ever tried to figure out that the Federal Reserve has the ability to fund the private sector as well, which we are the private sector. So we are trying to get to the point where we educate enough people to support the idea because the bill passed with flying colors in Missouri. We're trying to get enough support in Texas to whereas they will understand, re-educate themselves so that we can approach the Federal Reserve with the agenda and eventually make this a national thing. And it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of people. And I need your help. So
okay.
I'm asking you.
And Terry. Yeah, yes, Brother sir. Terry, here's the thing, is that what Queen was saying is that we have got to, what we have to do is, as you said, come together collectively. But we got to demand equalize opportunity within, you know, for capital ownership. We need capital ownership, broad-based ownership, but what we have to do is also have full participation and the opportunity to participate in the wealth builder. You gave us the opportunity to participate in political, but you didn't give us this opportunity. And we're not asking for any handouts. Now, reparation, I'm going to say that, you know, I'm going to talk about that and leave it alone. But what we have to begin to do is dismantle artificial barriers, systemic and structural and institutional racism. You know, we have to dismantle that before we can go anywhere. And my take and our take on reparation is not to give cash subsidies. You know, we let somebody else worry about that. But first we have to repair the system. And particularly the monetary system has to be changed. Now, Queen was saying about the Federal Reserve. See, and when it comes to our people and black people, we got to stop looking for government to solve our issues.
I agree.
That's not going to do it. you know, if you get a chance, go to Section 13.2A of the Federal Reserve Act of 1914. It says that the Federal Reserve has the powers to create money for private sector growth by bills of exchange. Now, bills of exchange is the key. What bills of exchange mean that it's not to be based on past savings. It can be paid by future profits, future
right.
savings. But what the federal, because the private sector, now they do it for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk buying
yeah.
Twitter cost him $40-something billion. Well, guess
right.
what? He only had come up with $22 billion of his own past savings or assets, past assets or savings. And the Federal Reserve went and created through the commercial bank the other $22 billion that he needed to buy it.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's what bills of exchange mean. So, with the Citizen Land Development Co-op, the law that we just got passed here in Missouri by a Republican governor, he signed it into law, is that with all the city-owned property and the government property that they don't know what to do with it and can't do nothing with it because governments cannot participate in private sector growth. Government, city government, state government can't go out and build communities, rent houses out and stuff like that. That's what I mean. They can't do that. So what the city would do is transfer all the city land over to the Citizen Land Development Co-op. The Federal
mm-hmm.
Reserve then goes to the commercial banks to create the money to redevelop it. And it's backed up by real assets. Today what they're doing, you remember I said it can be paid by future savings and future profits?
Right.
Today
yeah.
what the Federal Reserve is doing is they're loaning money to government and it's backed up by government debt that's going to be paid by future taxpayers.
Hmm.
So they putting our children into debt already. All this got to stop. So we're not challenging the Federal Reserve. We're not, you know, trying to dismantle the Federal Reserve. No, what we have to demand is do what you have the powers to do. Create some money that is backed up by real assets, not government debt. The money that you create can be paid in 5 to 7 years, paid off in 5 to 7 years, and after that, 100% of the profits being made from the land leases and development in the first 5 to 7 years, all of it goes to repay off the debt. After that,
right.
the citizens who live in the community begin to get a dividend payout from the land lease. And then I got some information on the housing. You know, it's a way to totally reform the affordable housing program. That money that they put toward affordable housing for Section 8 and all that,
yeah.
where people
right.
remain renters and never become owners. We got
right.
a way and a concept within the Citizen Land Development Co-op where they can pay their rent, and after 7 to 10 years, they own the home. No more renters.
Yeah.
We have to get ownership
yeah.
to the hands of people. And that's
the way we had a program like that. We had a program like that with the Housing Authority where people became homeowners after so many years of paying rent. That program still exists here in Houston.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know,
I mean, but nobody.
You guys are taking me to school today.
But Queen, you want to go back to the paganism pimping, though?
No, what I want to talk about is because, like I say, we share a lot of information on this broadcast. But I think what's unique about Dots for ESJ is that we do offer the 9 areas of counsel, And so what we need is for people to come in where they are. We're not trying to take anybody out of their element, because we know that people are good at certain things. You know,
right.
Everybody has a gift, right? So if I was to ask you to sign up for one of our 9 areas of counsel, it would be probably interfaith counsel, where interfaith means that you're gathering people in the spiritual realm regardless
right.
of their religion. So it would be the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Lutheran, the Methodist, the First
yeah.
Baptist, Second Baptist, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and it's interfaith, but we're talking about economic sustainability through Docs for ESJ as far as what we're trying to do in creating a new economic paradigm, because we can do it. I mean, you know, Uncle Terry, you was there. I was there.
Yeah.
Every day when we went to the Million Man March, I know I personally
mm-hmm.
registered over 10,000 people to vote. So if I can register 10,000 people to vote by myself, and you know, Houston, what we did, like over 200,000 people voted But here's
that's
the thing.
Right.
But here's the thing. We have 9 areas where ever your interest is. We have education, we got arts and culture, we got science and technology, health and human services, criminal justice, information, which would be like media, marketing. We have agriculture, interfaith, and justice, just trade and commerce council, which is dealing with a big part of the financial aspect. And here's the thing about what we're trying to do, because
the holistic approach, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a way.
And
that's
I mean,
the only way to build sustainable communities.
But
if you also look at Kwanzaa and the meaning of those words, Kuja Chakalia, self-determination. That's Swahili, so that's my language. Okay, Ujamaa. Collective work and responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, which is the purpose, Kuumba, which is creativity, and Imani is faith. So when we tie that into the 9 areas of counsel, they just the same. They are exactly the same. And so what I'm saying is this, our people, like you said, Uncle Terry, they perish from the lack of knowledge. Well,
that's right.
If we educate ourselves, we have the responsibility of educating our people. The problem is that our people have been so indoctrinated into the education that they get from our European co-partners or whatever they want to call them.
Counterparts,
right? That they... It's hard for them to come in and unify with us.
Right.
And we have to turn that around. And we have to turn that around by getting in touch and talking to and meeting with and educating our they call them leaders, but people in positions is what I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because
you're
not a leader.
Really.
If you're not leading me in the right direction, and you're
not
a leader if you don't have any power. And the only way that you get power is that you get people behind your idea. And we got to get the people, but we got to educate the people that can get the people.
I don't know how.
So we don't continue having deceived people deceiving people.
Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know how.
And we need some grant writers, Uncle Terry.
Yeah.
I don't know how far-fetched this may sound to you, but we need a new paradigm in what we're bringing. I mean, go to the website and look under the check the link to Economic Democracy Act. That's on a federal level. You know, where it's a way that's on the, we got to get the Economic Democracy Act passed. And this is just not for descendants of American slaves. This is for descendants of Native Americans, descendants of immigrants, and the descendants of American slave owners. This is for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody must be set at an equal balance. But with the Citizen Land Development Co-op, if you go all around the country, the urban community, this is a way that the urban communities can be developed and the people own it. And this is a beginning to an end of gentrification, you know.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. So that's what we're doing. But, you know, the four is the, you know, the we have to be educated. Now, the leaders of today, you can't really blame them. They only know what they've been taught. So it's
right.
Our job to go out and teach them and educate them, hey, there's a better way, a just third way. You have to establish justice. That's the first thing you have to do, establish justice. And, you know, there was once, I don't believe Aristotle said this, but because a lot of Aristotle writings did not come from Aristotle. It came from a black man, a slave that was held in slave. And Aristotle took a lot of his writing and took credit for him. But he did not write this. But he said the parent of crime is poverty. No politician, no leader is talking about how do you solve the poverty issue. The poverty. That's why you have drug dealers. Is because they have to put food on their table. They have to feed their children. They want power, economic power. That's why you got carjackings, and it is based around economics. But if you can find a way, which we come up with a way that really will save America and America's economic decline, because in it, it's ways that you can start reducing, you know, 70%, 68% of the taxation power that goes into government goes to welfare subsidies. So if you can reduce the amount of welfare needed, you reduce the use of government. Am I right? So we got a way to reduce. You have to get capital ownership into the hands of the people. Capital, automation. Artificial intelligence, which is going to replace, is replacing jobs. Man, if we don't do something now, man, we're going right back to servitude slavery. Because scientists is at its thrust to replace human labor. Now, that's not just based on greed. God did not intend for you to be a slave all your life.
That's the time that we're in. And speaking of that, I want to talk to Uncle Terry about what he started off with, the condition of the so-called spiritual institutions, because I remember studying the history of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he visited a lot of the churches, a lot of the secret meetings that were held in black churches. Black churches were the cornerstone of the black community. And now, morally, we have lost our moral authority just by looking at our women in the street, our young men in the street, our young children, they're in the street. And we say, where are the parents? Well, the parents can't watch them and feed them too. And the thing about it is that, Uncle Terry, you know, we were blessed because as I was a SHAPE Community Center kid, I had somewhere to go after school. And then my children, second generation, right, were able to attend SHAPE Center up until they were 18 years old. And so there was always something to do, always somewhere to go. And now those programs and the funding for those programs have ended. And so we right. don't have men like you, Deloitte and Robert Muhammad and, oh, God, Fisher and Bird
yeah.
and, oh, God, who am I forgetting? Kevin Sylvester. It was so many that came through there. My
yeah, we had four
and,
generations.
And now that you mentioned that, do you know who ended preparatory education? When I say preparatory education, I'm talking about vocational schools. We had Battle Rock, Stuttering, where brothers can go and learn how to do, you know, take up HVAC and building maintenance and get a degree.
And welding and all those, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know who ended preparatory education? Barack
yeah.
Obama. Barack Obama.
Really?
Ended it. Yes, Barack Obama. He hated preparatory education. He ended it. And it was a way that the young brothers who were in poverty, rather than going to a trade school or a technical college, they can go to here we had Battle Rod and Sullivan and others, where they can go and take up HVAC and not go into huge debt, you know, and get a certificate in HVAC and go out and get a decent job. Well, Barack
right.
Obama ended that. The Citizen Land right. Development Co-op, the law that we just got passed in Missouri, it passed through the Illinois House of Representatives, get this, Terry, 114-0. Nobody
wow.
opposed it, where they were going to rebuild East St. Louis. In 2007, they were going to totally develop and the citizens own it. Today, East St. Louis is 100 times worse than it was in 2007. But it went
wow.
to Barack Obama's desk. It went to Barack Obama's desk to get to the Senate. It passed out of the House 114-0, went to Barack Obama because he was Illinois State Senator at the time, went to his desk to be introduced to the Senate, and he totally ignored it.
Wow.
He stopped the whole project. But God is the best knower. We got that same bill passed here in the state of Missouri.
Wow.
And Uncle Terry, I think that you could play a very important role as far as interfaith, because, again, with everything that we're saying, it's fine and good. But until we get our moral authority up somewhat and have preachers participate in the process.
Yeah, what we've got to do is we got to get their ear. Get their ear. There
right.
has to be a character. Yes.
Right. And it can't be that separation of, oh, you Muslim preacher, I don't want to deal with you. Or you're Catholic, I don't want to deal with you. That has to stop. That has been a divisive tool that has been used amongst our people to divide us when we did try to unify. Because, you know, out
exactly.
of slavery, the only thing
exactly.
that black people knew in terms of religion was Christianity.
Right.
And then after civil rights, they started to invite you in the name of Jesus to
yeah.
the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Catholic, the this,
yeah,
the, that,
that's
the
what
other.
I was saying.
And so,
that's
and
what
so
I was saying.
When we have one unit, one body, just serve
yeah.
God. And you praise him
yeah.
and serve him the way you want to serve him. But then let these preachers get at these babies who's out here losing their lives and killing each other over nothing, because there's no solution being brought to them about their real situation. Because, see, it's hard to tell a man to put the gun down when his belly is touching his back and you got
yeah.
something that can bring him some revenue.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so it's hard for a parent. What you going to tell a parent, Uncle Terry, stop working and raise your child? What is she going to raise them on? What is, how is she going to feed them? How is she going to... And so these are some of the grassroots economic problems that we have. We might be talking on the political and federal level, but let's get to the grassroots of it. And you and I have seen that living in Third Ward. You know, I didn't live in the bad part of Third Ward, but shit, the bottom was right down the street. You know, we might have lived in a big old house, but the bottoms was just down the street.
That's right.
It was a point in time, if you remember, when Uncle Terry, you know, like some of our children who were Shape Center children, they couldn't cross Alabama because there were some things going on over there that we didn't want our children exposed to. So the only time we went over there is doing the MLK parade or when we was doing neighborhood cleanup or something like that.
Right.
But when it came to interaction, our children couldn't cross to Alabama because that was the bottoms and that was a whole different environment down there. But then the thing that brought us together was when we did the neighborhood cleanup and we went there and they saw us and they started helping us clean up their community.
That's the same technique
that we got to use. And guess what? None of those children asked us, were we Muslim? Were we Baptist? Was we Lutheran? Was we Catholic? They was like, hey, y'all are here to help. And we got to help you help us. We have to use the same technique.
Yeah,
but here's,
find those
here's
things
another
that you have
thing.
In common and move forward with that. Yes.
But here's another thing, Brother Terry, that I want to mention and I want you to remember.
Yes,
it's the same thing that saved you can also be the same thing that enslaves you.
Come on.
If you don't outgrow its contemporary message, meaning that, you know, the Bible, Jesus even, you know, in Deuteronomy, it talks about, it says, justice, 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 thou shalt pursue. In the preamble of the Constitution, and I know some our black people out there, brothers and sisters, they say, well, when that was created and drawn up, we were in slavery, and it didn't mean us. Well, today you're a citizen of America. In some kind of way. But when they wrote the preamble of the Constitution, the first thing they said in the preamble is to establish justice. Now, what does that mean? They weren't talking about just within criminality. They were talking about established justice, a balanced scale. So what we're talking about is equal justice, established justice. Right now, the system and the institutions that make up the social order are unjust.
Right.
Education, banking, all the institutions are unjust.
Social economics.
They don't know.
Right.
Social economics, they don't know what justice is. So once what we have to do, and the churches and the clergy of communities will pay a big role in this is because we can't fault the people out of ignorance. But when Dots for ESJ and this show that Queen hosts every week, we're giving you the blueprint. We're giving you, this is not a bunch of damn rhetoric we come up with. This is, it's so much of that. All you hear is rhetoric. Everybody talking about the problem, you know, racism and white supremacy. Okay, we've been hearing that, man. We know what the problem is. What is the solution to change it? What is the way to change and bring about a change? Is that the people have to stand up and come together, as you mentioned, collectively. Now,
Absolutely.
Martin Luther King celebration.
The problem has been identified. The problem has already been identified. We know what the problem is. Now we're going to come together and solve the problem. Yes.
We got to come with solutions. I hear, you know, not to take anything away from, you know, the black leaders, but if you notice, we pretty much, we laid down on everybody that ever stood for us. We laid down, like here, if you go to our website, the front page is our website. On the home page is Harriet Tubman. I could have saved 1,000 more if they only knew that they were slaves.
Yeah.
If the information that is given on this radio show every Sunday is valuable information. We got the blueprint. There's no, and I don't say this because of we're introducing it, but there's no other solution to the problem. We got to repair the system first. That's reparation. Repair the system, particularly the monetary system. It's our right. It's a fundamental human right of what we're asking for on a local level and a federal level. We have to change the system. This is a systemic problem. We come with a systemic solution. We got to, and Queen was talking about the 9 advisory councils. That's the way to really build, I don't know what it is like there in Houston, Texas, or the Third Ward, but here in St. Louis, we have food deserts. You know, we don't have grocery stores in our community, so we got
And can you believe that? That is St. Louis, Missouri. They don't even have a Walmart. That is terrible.
I'm saying, but we don't have grocery stores within our community. And then another thing, let's get back to the paganism, you know, pimping, is that what's going to happen is that this time, if we don't have the things in our community that are the necessities of life and some of the stuff that you buy around Christmas. So what you do is you go and make your own earned dollars. You're urban residents, but you go and spend your dollars in Chesterfield where the big malls are. So what you just did was you took your dollars out of your community into another community which is rich and have big shopping malls. So what you just did is you wonder why their roads are smooth, their streets are paved. Because
you're paying taxes, you're paying somebody else's rent.
But under the Citizen Land Development Co-op and urban development, here's the great thing about it, Terry, is that the citizens are involved, have an equal voting. They're involved in the planning, the development. And when I say planning, we meet the needs. It'll meet the needs of what the citizens want in their community. Walmart. Let's say they need a Walmart, a Target. Okay, put that in the community. Now, instead of Target coming in and buying the land from the city government, they lease the land from the citizens to build, to run the operations and bring in everything that we need. We don't even have movie theaters. We don't have grocery stores. And we set up grocery stores under the Citizen Land Development Co-op where the grocery store is a cooperative business where the workers and the residents own shares within the grocery store.
Yeah.
It's a citizen land bank. I got a book here that was written from the Federal Reserve talking about a great and moral social force, a history of black banks. We set up community banks. Everything that we need in the community, we put in our community. And the Federal Reserve has the powers to create, and everything is backed up by assets.
Hmm.
It's feasible. The money is there. the blueprint Queen will be sending you, you know, the breakdown, the step-by-step. I mean, this is not a Mickey Mouse deal. You know,
right.
This is big. I mean, but we got to make it happen. It's the only solution out there. But we got so many people stuck on egos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got to put that egos aside and let's come together, as you said, collectively. And but that's what we do around this time, and we do it all the time. I mean, just like in the city of St. Louis, we don't have family recreation where you want to take your children out to an arcade and play some games, which we all do, you know, enjoy a movie or go and get in some go-karts and just batting range. We don't have that. So and this is all by design. And what they do is they set those things up out in their community. So you could bring your hard-earned dollars to their community. You're
right.
Taking it out of the black community.
Like you said, it's by design. It's by design.
It's by design because nobody is out there advocating and holding them accountable to where you got the power to change this. You know, with the red line, under the Economic Democracy Act, getting it passed on a federal level, see, you're not judged by what color you are. Everybody, you're not judged by what ethnic group or where you, what school you go to. And then what just happened to Kanye West? It's a tragedy. But you must not, Kanye West and all the other entertainers, must come to realize you're nothing but a slave because anytime a man can take your wealth from you like that, you're not free. But under the Economic Democracy Act and the Citizen Land Development Co-op, you got some that they can never take away. You got something that they can never take away.
That's
right. The position that we have to educate Kanye West. We got to educate Tiff and all the so-called LeBron James. They know no other way.
Right.
But there is another way, a juster way. See, they know no other way. So, you know, when you don't know, you just don't know. But
right.
They have
all right.
They have.
Well, no, I just wanted to say if anybody had a question or a comment, press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll answer your question or respond to your comment.
Well, we forgot all about that, didn't we? we didn't went
I'm
on and
so
on and
sorry.
On and on, and we forgot
Brother
all
G,
about that.
You, I have
line.
Never heard you so hyped before in my life. Never.
Really?
Out of all the years that I've known you, 12 years going on, 13 years, I've never heard you this hyped. Ever, but
yeah, because
it's time
it all.
The time
it's
has come.
All been very good. It's been very good information.
It's the time
well,
has
Uncle
come.
Terry,
we
since you're here, I just want to know. I want to know. You can share with us publicly what you think about everything that you've heard thus far.
Well, I tell you what, it kind of lit fire into me, and what it did was it didn't totally educate me, but what it did was it reminded me of what needs to be done. And it lit fire on me under me in the sense that it's the timing is right.
Yeah, it's calling for it. The timing you
yeah,
hit
the
ti- it.
The
timing,
timing
is right.
Is right. And there's an old saying that if it's gonna be, it's up to me. You know. So all
yes,
the things
sir.
We've talked about, all the things that we're talking about, things that we share, cannot come to fruition until there's an action that takes place to make it happen, until the necessary organizing has taken place to make it happen. And that's why I mentioned seminar for lack of better words, but Queen, you said it better. Using the resources, the human resources we have to get their ear, to get their involvement, and to use the little political power that they have to bring these things into fruition. And again,
yeah, and we
But here's the thing, Dr. Terry, the SHAPE Community Center is home.
Yes.
And you know just as well as I know, every black politician that's ever wanted to run for office, where's the first place they go?
They go to SHAPE.
The SHAPE Community Center. Exactly. So we need to have a homecoming.
Well, SHAPE is the ambassador of the Third Ward.
Exactly.
Well, actually, the ambassador of Houston. It's the embassy. It's where everybody congregates.
Everybody.
And Terry, let me say this to you. Is that we're going to be launching what we call Own Institute of Learning Economic and Social Systems. Own stands for ownership, wealth, and knowledge. And what we will be doing is educating the community on the institutions that make up the social order. So in order to be liberated by something, you have to first understand it.
Understand
What is money? What is money? What is property? People think property, and you may think, Terry, that property is the thing that you own. No, property is rights over the fruit of what the thing produces.
Hmm.
It's not the thing that you own. If it don't produce anything, it's not property. See, white folks understand that. The founders of this country understood that. That's why they called us in slavery property, because humans, and they called us three-fifths of a human, because if you were 100% of a human, you wouldn't be considered property. And property produced.
And we
anything
produced
that we produced it. Anything
we
that
produced this entire country.
Anything that produces an income, that's real property. If it don't produce, your house is not capital. The car you drive is not property. See, they understand that.
Unless it's making money for you.
Yeah, I mean, they understand that. We have to be educated. What is money? Money is not currency, the fiat currency. That's the only form of money we know. I'm sharing with you some things that are within the OWN Institute of study of economic and social institutions.
I'm following you.
What is money? What is money? We think money is just fiat currency. The money. No, fiat in Latin means let it be so. It's not backed by nothing. And what Federal Reserve is doing is legal counterfeiting. They're printing money out of thin air that's not backed up by any assets or any production. Stimulus money they just printed. I asked everybody that I come into, what did it produce? Nothing.
A headache.
Yeah, it produced what you got today, inflation. You can't continue to print money out of thin air that's backed up by no production and no asset. What American
and let
government
me say
doing
something about this economic system right quick. Let me say something because we're about 12 minutes away. I want to get this out here. Because this is the reason why I named this show Paganism Pimping. You all are about to go and spend money you don't have on bullshit you don't need. Excuse me, Uncle Terry.
It's okay.
And the fact about it is that when they talked about how they raised the interest rates, some of you have inflated mortgages, so therefore – not only the cash on hand you're going to spend, but now you're about to inflate and max out your credit cards for a hella day. And the reason why I call it a hella day is because you finna catch hell after this day trying to pay off stuff. You be paying this stuff off next Christmas.
That's right.
The same thing. And what I'm saying is that our behavior and the way we look at money has to change. We have to start investing in ourselves.
Yeah.
And we can't keep dependent on government or anybody else to take care of us. And I just, this just sticks in my craw a little bit because I see how we gather for mess. We gather for concerts. We gather for movies. We gather for BS in the streets. We gather for anything else. Don't you understand what entertainment is today in this world? It's dangling a carrot in front of your face to keep your mind off the real issues. And here's the thing. Your television is your biggest problem. Because you look at television and you want that car and you want that dress and you want that perfume and your children want these toys and you're going out of your way because you feel like, oh, as a parent, I need to be able to provide my child, provide your child with an education, provide your child with a bank account, provide your child with a savings, provide your child in what and how to invest. Provide your child with some generational wealth. If you want to give your child a gift, instead of buying them a toy, give them a debit card to a bank account. Buy them a book. Like Uncle Terry said, buy them a book.
Yeah.
Get them educated. It's incumbent upon us to do this. And I can't express the urgency enough without just going off. So I promised Gene I wasn't going to go off today. But
well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. I hope you hit home with some folks.
But people, this next year that is coming up, they got some plans for us. And until we unify and see unity willingly feels a lot better than unity forced.
Come on.
And so while you're able to just wake up and say, I need to get with my people. I don't care if it's just 10 people. You need to get with your family. You need to talk about doing something collectively, developing and creating and producing and manufacturing something that would give your family a start economically, because I promise you, I promise that next year you better catch hell. You're about to catch hell. You think grocery prices are high now? You think clothing prices and shoe prices are high now? You wait. And let me tell you something, people. Your president that you like so much, all you Democrats that you love so much, Joe is the reason why I'm at the grocery store right now. Because we always sticking ourselves into somebody else's business. $80 billion. $80 billion to some crackers in Ukraine. And I'm not insensitive to war and what they going through, but that ain't none of our business. We got a war of poverty over here. We got a war of crime out of control over here. We got a war of guns and drugs over here that you ain't put 2 cents into, but you send $80 billion to Ukraine to satisfy your own greed. Because your
you know why they do that, though,
is
Queen?
In Ukraine.
You know why they do that? You know why they do continue to do what they do? The reason they continue to aid other countries is because we're not demanding of anything here. Look at China, a communist country, China, and they wanted to start putting down the lockdown and using COVID as the lockdown. Look at what they're doing. Oh, they protest. They got out. They came out by the thousands and protested a communist government. And now they're reconsidering on implementing those laws, they're going to eventually do away. It took people power. See, and the
right.
reason that they keep aiding Ukraine and other countries and not solving the problems here at home is because people are not demanding it. I mean, I think about the June 10th holiday that Joe Biden signed into as a federal holiday. That sounded great to everybody, but let me tell you something. Don't get
that's a damn shame. It's
fooled.
A disgust.
Wait a minute, but you mustn't be fooled. You have to go out and go back and look at history, because before a federal law like that, he passed that federal holiday. There hasn't
mm-hmm.
been a federal holiday passed since 1983 on Martin Luther King.
Right.
1983, right. That's almost 30-plus years ago.
Right.
Black folks are not demanding anything. But here we
hold on. First of all, I don't know about nobody else, but I personally, who is the granddaughter of a slave, my grandfather did not get captured until 1860. He came to Texas in 1864 as a slave. I'm sorry, he came here in 1865 after slavery had ended. Texas got the law late. The law had been passed since 1863. So Texas was slaves for an extra 2 years. Now, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. But I know freedom is good, but you still ain't free. And number two, that's a damn insult. It's an insult. It's an insult to me that you want to celebrate getting the news late. Now, here's the thing. How many slaves died under the oppression of slavery in those 2 years?
Huh.
You can't celebrate that. How many slaves were beaten in those 2 years? You can't celebrate that. How much cotton was picked for free in those 2 years? You can't celebrate that. And when black people come together and start talking about freedom. You're not free if your brother not free, and you're not free if you're broke.
That's the problem with us. We do too much celebration.
But if you can't walk out of your house without the fear of getting your head blown off, you're not free. So
you're
don't you
right.
understand that you are still
right.
shackled? You are economic slave. You are wage slave. You are political slave. Don't you understand that the only reason why prison is not slavery, because they pay the inmates a wage, and it's 25, 26, 12 cents a day. That is the only thing that keeps it from being slavery, but every inmate has a job in the field. House niggas and slave niggas, field niggas, I mean. Same concept. They got some people working in the house and some people working out in the fields, but the only thing is that, we paying you 12 cents a day. That's slavery. So you think your children are going to jail? No, they going into slavery. And it's nothing to celebrate. No part of it. So I think that you clapping and you jumping and you celebrating and you barbecuing and you drinking and ain't nobody thinking about what the hell they celebrate.
Right.
Get up off
right.
your behind and do something for yourself. You don't own nothing. Name me a corporation that we own. Name me a manufacturer that we own. Name me a hospital that we own. One African American. One African American owned bank, Riverside Bank.
Riverside Bank. Mm-hmm.
What else do we own in this country? We built this damn country. The soil of this land is soaked with our blood. They killed my grandfather, my grandmother, and seven of my aunts and uncles because my grandfather spoke Swahili to his children. And they said, this nigga plotting to do something. And they shot him, and they killed him, and they flipped him over on his land. And you say he was free? He wasn't free to speak Swahili to his children. He wasn't free to speak his native language to his children. So how was he free?
Hmm.
In 1906, this happened.
Hmm.
And we still not free. Was George Floyd free? As we watch 8 minutes and 46 seconds of the life being, was he free?
Hmm.
Hmm. A break. Get your act together. Do something for yourself. Do something for your children. Because they are the ones that's going to pay all this stimulus money back, all this BS about supply and demand. That's a game. They done put 15 rockets on the moon, but they can't get some shit out the sea. Come on. All right.
Here's the thing they say about supply and demand. They say that if the demand meets the supply or the supply meets the demand, let's say the Koch brothers, for instance, if they supply and produce so much product, can the Koch brothers consume all the product that they produce? Of course not. So when they talk about supply and demand, the people doesn't have the purchasing power to buy what's being produced. That's
right.
Why you have inflation, because people
right.
don't have the purchasing power to purchase what's being produced.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem that we have, because it's all of it, the whole system. And Terry, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. The whole entire system is based on a wage system. Jobs. That's only one factor of production. Is your human labor. The system is not based on the other factor of production, which is capital input, the machines, the robots, the artificial intelligence. See, they missed that part. And that's where we got to come in at and educate and look, your system is failing, and you never fix the system because you're focused on one factor in production. You're not focused on both factors of production. That's why the system is failing. And that came from John Maynard Keynes, who educated after the Great Depression. He educated FDR on this. It was based on wage earnings, wage system, but they forgot that other factor of production. And that's why the top one. Yeah, that's why the top 1% owns 99% of the capital input. But there's a way to distribute that, to broaden base, where here's the whole concept is that people during the pandemic, if we were capital owners of the under the Economic Democracy Act, when all those people lost their jobs, they would have had a second income coming in from the capital ownership. That way the government wouldn't have had to go out and counterfeit over $20 trillion and pump into the economy if the Economic Democracy Act was in place. And not only that, under the Economic Democracy Act, people now have a second. See, government is coming up where they're talking about a universal basic income. You heard of that, Terry?
Yes, I have.
Now, what they have come to realize that the citizens need a second income.
Right.
But universal basic income is not sustainable. They're talking about taxing the rich more, you know, off their capital gains and giving it to those who need it. That's a form of redistribution. We got another they don't have an alternative because they don't know that there's another alternative. This is just third way. They don't understand it. So we got another way. Because under the Economic Democracy Act, people who has capital ownership can use it for consumer buying where they work their job. They work their job not because they have to do it. They work it because they enjoy doing it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Okay,
listen,
we are over and out of time. I appreciate everybody who's listening online and on the phones, and I appreciate Gene and his upbeat spirit today, and definitely. My Uncle Terry. Uncle Terry, I got to have you back because I want to do a program on moral authority. I talked about it a little bit and tying it into poverty and how our economic situation created this massive wave of violence that we have. So I definitely want you and Pastor Holly back on the broadcast. We need to talk about this some more. We can't stay online all night, but I wish we could because Gene has so much to share. Uncle Terry, he has so much to share. And we just need to get it together.
We got work to do.
Yes, sir. So Uncle Terry, I'm going to give you the honors. At the end of our broadcast, we always say, give us, Uncle Terry, give us some marching orders to go forward with.
I tell you what, speaking of marching, you know, when George Floyd was killed, when Breonna Taylor was killed, we had marches and protests, you know.
Yeah.
We always have marches and protests. But a march and a protest means nothing unless you got a program that's going to evolve from that march and protest.
Come on.
You got where I'm coming from? Something has to evolve from that march and protest that's going to end. The marching is over. The protesting is over. But what did we produce from that march and that protest? That's the question. We've got to have programs that's going to evolve from these marches and protests. Somebody's got to take the bull by the horn and develop a program. Amen? Mm-hmm. So those are my marching orders. Don't just march. Let's develop a program. And I think we need to get together on this very platform. We're going to get together and Shape Center is going to be the place we're going to meet the next time when we get Sheila Jackson Lee and all these politicians and leaders, or so-called leaders, in one place so they can and have their ear ready to listen to some demands as to what the people need. Not what they want, but what they need. Needs and wants are two different things. If we can get into to jail, that would be wonderful. Those are my marching orders.
Thank you, Uncle Terry. All right, Gene, what you got? What you got?
Well, Terry, you're saying some very, very powerful stuff. He said, that's what America's doing. They've been addressing this problem based on need and not what a person can produce.
Right.
That's the problem. We can't continue to address this problem based on, they keep addressing the effect of poverty.
Yes.
It's time to go to the root cause of poverty. We have to address that. And my marching on is that we rethink this upcoming next 2 weeks, and when we go in spending, we have to start preparing ourselves for what's yet to come. And if you look, Queen was saying, for what we participate in. See, we can come together for the new line dance. We come together for, foolishness. But see, there's a book out called The Trait of Fall of Empires. And every trait, America is going right down the path. And the last one is decadence. And you were talking to Terry about moral authority. We have to get that back. That is a crucial element to building a sustainable community. The first improvement, as the minister always saying, to build a successful, sustainable, just, and thriving community, you must self-improvement. It starts with self-improvement.
But I believe people
fall into drugs, alcohol, and criminality because they have no power. They have no ownership stake within their community, and the landscape that has been designed for you to give up hope. And that's what we've done. We're the most hopeless people, faithless people. It's time for us to really go back to who we really are as a people. And they know who we are. They know your very origin of the power that you have within yourself. But it's buried under so much ignorance. But after this show, you listen to this show, I can't blame you for ignorance anymore. It's stupidity now. It's stupidity. Yeah. Point blank. Because you're getting the ingredients that you need to bake a good pie or good cake. You're getting all the ingredients. All you have to do is put it together in the mixing bowl and apply it. And let's go to work. It's a lot of work to do. I'm telling you, I'm going to say this, and I hope Queen don't get it. I think about quitting every day and giving up on our people. But when I see the condition, I say, somebody got to do this. Somebody's got to educate those in power because they don't know. They got to be reeducated. Look, you've been following this slave system to keep us a slave because you don't know. It's a better way.
You won't give up because our ancestors didn't give up.
Yeah, we can't lay down on them.
That's right.
No, you can't lay down on them. And I think
I want to leave us with some information. African American buying power has seen impressive gains since the end of the last economic downturn, jumping from $961 billion. In 2010 to an estimated $1.3 trillion in 2018. Since the year of 2000, the African American market has seen a 114% increase in buying power. Now, $1.3 trillion is what we spent in 2018, which was what, 4 years ago? So imagine where we are right now. That's buying power. I'm going to leave you information. You own none of it. So if that is the path that you want to continue to take, then this is not for you. But my responsibility as an African woman that has heritages in Africa, in West Indies, and in this country, it is my duty to turn our people around to truth. The reason why I called on my Uncle Terry, because if you want to know the truth about the religion that you're in, this is the man to tell you
Amen.
The truth and to set you on the path of truth. And once you have the truth, he does it so beautifully that you want to drop the title and say, I'm a spiritualist. I believe in God. And that's it. Because he can tell you how religion has divided us and has destroyed us.
Yes.
Brother Gene has put this thing together so eloquently. He has done all of the paperwork, all of the footwork. And I'm going to help him. And I'm going back to Houston, to the metropolis, to the people that I know, to the people that I've looked up to in politics, and I'm going to call on them to learn about another way to turn this around. Now, if I call on people to turn this around, know that you are the people that need to be turned around, listening audience. And I just hope that you're willing to take that dance with us. Because if not, we're going to continue to live in poverty. We're going to continue to go visit our children either at the jailhouse or at the cemetery. If we don't turn this around, it's our responsibility. So thank you, everyone. Uncle Terry, I am so honored and so happy that you joined me today. And I hope that you come back, you and Pastor Holly, and educate us on moral authority and the true history of religion. We need that information because I think a lot of that is what's crippling us.
The key word is interfaith.
Yes, sir.
Interfaith. And
yes, sir.
We will be back. We'll be back. And I've learned some things today.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm glad. So I sent you the link to the website. So whenever you get time,
it.
I can share it. Yeah. Go on the website and keep in touch with me and let me know what you think. And we'll be back next week.
Amen. I love you.
Well, I love you too, I can tell. Thank you so much. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good
day. Meeting you, my brother.
You too, sir. We'll be talking some more.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
All right, everybody have a blessed week.
The physical man is not going to come back.
Weekend.
If he came back,
one nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
You've been running over benches and knocking down walls trying to get out of the church. If the man who was here 2,000 years ago returned and walked in the church and said, I'm back, and I'm black, you wouldn't want to have nothing to do with them. Just like you know that snakes don't talk in the garden to Eve and nobody else. No way on earth that a snake could have talked to Eve and deceived Eve. When the snake crawled in the garden, Eve would have been out of the garden, so he wouldn't even had a chance to deceive her. And if it was a talking snake, you know Eve wouldn't have stuck around to find out what the snake had to say. So it wouldn't have been no way that Eve could have been deceived by the same token.